Housing for the Aged Action Group, HAG for short, a housing group for older people run by older people. Present
Raise the Roof!
We advocate for secure, affordable and appropriate housing. So listen up on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30pm on 3CR 855 on your AM dial.
That's right, you're listening to Raise the Roof on 3CR 855 on your AM dial. This is Housing for the Age Action Group's show about older people's housing issues. My name's Fiona and I'm joined today with Liz. How you going, Liz?
I'm great. How are you, Fiona?
I'm really good, yeah.
What's been happening?
Oh, you know, thinking about housing and migration and the rise of fascism on the streets of Melbourne and how disturbing it is,
yeah.
And how we've probably all got a responsibility to be speaking out a lot more about this stuff. So that's been preying on my mind over the last couple of weeks since the events of two Sundays ago.
Yeah, and it's when people talk about cost of living, it's always a compelling argument. I mean, things are too expensive, housing is too expensive, people being disaffected by that, and then leaving aside a whole lot of other things about how we should respect one another and maybe not bash each other and hate one another.
And who is to blame, I guess? Who's responsible for this housing crisis? Is it migrants or is it 40 years of government inaction on housing tax incentives for rich, a small minority of rich people? And you know, lots of empty houses out there, lots and lots of empty houses and really unaffordable rents. And it's good to think that, to sort of compare what happened during COVID when we did have no migration, that rents were still rising.
They were rising really significantly at that point. And in a system where we treat housing as if it is for profit and as if it is a core money-making thing, that families can be participating in that system.
Yeah. It's not true. We know from the data that lots of older women that are in home ownership, they own their house. It's their home for their family. And they're not the ones that are making a buck out of this. And it's certainly not all of the hardworking migrants that are building the houses either who are to blame for this. And when you look at, I mean, it's, you don't want to be too cynical, but when you look at the number of properties that investment properties that our decision makers have, it makes you wonder where's the incentive to actually address some of these tax levers that are, you know, prioritising investment over housing as a human right or housing as a home. Sad days for Melbourne.
I
feel like we pride ourselves on being multicultural and pride ourselves on being, I guess, progressive. But what we saw on Sunday the week before was definitely not that.
It's a very divided state in terms of people's views and the bubbles that we're in.
And the importance of having independent community media that can talk about these things without getting sucked into the vortex of the YouTube algorithm. So what have we got on the show today, Liz?
Well, we're going to have a little chat. I'm going to ask you about what happened in Parliament over the last couple of weeks with regards to the aged care packages. And then we're going to hear from Bill McKenzie, who is a super cool member of Housing for the Age Action Group and a member of the Older Renters Working Group. So speaking of the theme of health and services for older people, we're going to be talking about what the demolition of the public housing towers means for older residents in the older residents' high-rise buildings. And then we're going to have a little bit more of a chit-chat about Nazis and stuff.
Great. Sounds awesome.
All right.
So aged care.
Yes.
Yeah. So Housing for the Aged Action Group, we have a Care Finder program which assists older people who are at risk of homelessness or insecure housing to access aged care. And so our team of workers really struggle to get aged care services in the home. And we know that it's really important for people to be able to age in place and age well if they have, you know, safe housing, but also that they can access the aged care packages. And when we say aged care packages, we're talking about the Commonwealth, we're talking about home care packages and also Commonwealth Home Support, which is changing to Support at Home on the 1st of November. And because of the delays to the Support at Home program, there's been quite a lot of delays in services being rolled out as well.
Yeah. So, Fiona, tell us what happened in federal parliament over the past couple of weeks with regards to the aged care packages.
Yeah, so just last week, actually, there was a lot of pressure on the new minister, Sam Ray, to explain, I guess, from the coalition and the crossbench, what's going on with the delays to the release of all of these home care packages. And they were supposed to be coming out on the 1st of July, but as I said, it's been pushed back. I think there's something like 83,000 that are due to come out. And what we're hearing on the ground, and there's an inquiry actually into this exact topic, which was put forward by David Pocock, the independent senator. And what it's saying is that people are dying waiting. They're waiting for so long that they're not getting the packages that they need in the home. And so there was a lot of pressure on the minister to explain that. And he did announce a release of 20,000 extra packages just last week. So ahead of the 83,000 that are coming in November.
Okay, So what will this mean for older people on the wait list for in-home care?
Well, hopefully it means that they'll actually be able to get the packages that they've been promised. What we find is the delays to the home care packages is definitely a thing, but we also really struggle to find support for people that are kind of one level under that, which is the Commonwealth Home Support. So that's the entry level type of care. It's like cleaning, it might be showering, it might be shopping assistance, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so these are people that don't need a great deal of support and they don't get the case management component, they just get the services, but there's basically no one providing that stuff anymore. So hopefully if these packages come up, those people that do have been deemed eligible and have been assessed as requiring a little bit of extra support will get those faster. But there still is a big gap for those people that are mainly managing pretty fine by themselves but just need a little bit of extra support.
Yeah, okay. And so when you said that we find it really difficult to get the actual services, so would this mean that even with the release of the packages, there's still the issue of finding services
the workforce?
Yeah.
Look, I've heard mixed things about that. I think there's definitely workforce shortages in rural and regional areas and in some parts of Melbourne and the cities generally. But I've also heard that providers are ready to go. They have the workforce, they're all ready, they're just waiting for the packages to be released.
I think potentially...
They will be able to get up pretty quickly in some areas.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
That's good news.
Yeah, that's very good news. Yeah. Yep. Why is the release of these packages behind schedule? Like when David Pocock initiated the inquiry and got the Greens and the Coalition together to form the group that ended up lobbying Labor hardcore to get the release of 20,000. Why is the delay? What's the Labor Party saying the delay is about?
Well, I think that they weren't ready for the new Aged Care Act to be implemented. So the new Aged Care Act was a recommendation of the Royal Commission into Aged Care, which was maybe 5 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And they had some pretty strong recommendations about just how badly the system was failing. Report was released. They put the new act in place. The consultation for the new Aged Care Act was really long and kind of long-winded. But then they were ready to go 1st of July and they just weren't quite ready. The service system wasn't quite ready. So they were like, let's give it time, a couple of extra months to get all the services ready, to educate the public, to listen to older people about what they need, and then we'll roll it out. But what that means is that we're playing catch up now. And it's really expensive stuff too. And so I think the budgetary kind of implications was also an issue. But yeah, what they said at the time was they needed more time to get things set up before they released.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for explaining that. We are going to go to a cart and then we're going to hear this interview with Bill McKenzie.
Excellent.
Behind. If you're experiencing family violence, free legal support is available. You may need support with obtaining protection, setting up safe parenting arrangements, organising a new visa, getting into safe housing, or making sure bills and bank accounts are split fairly. Community legal centres have expertise in helping people who experience family violence and can provide confidential advice to help you understand your rights and legal options. Reach out today for guidance and support. Visit www.fclc.org.au and click Get Help to find a community legal centre near you. You don't have to face family violence alone. If you are currently in crisis, please contact Safe Steps on 1800 015 188. Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
CR programs provide information and analysis you won't hear in the mainstream.
Today we'll be looking at the legacy of the US war on Vietnam on Laos.
And as far as corporate capitalism is concerned, it is the worst political and economic system that you can have.
Our laws about jailing refugees and asylum seekers are so well crafted.
Sex is not irrelevant and we like who we are, but we don't have to be imprisoned by our gender.
Become a subscriber today. Call us on 9419 8377 or visit 3cr.org.au. 3CR, the voice of dissent.
All right, so we are now going to hear an interview that I did last Monday with Bill McKenzie, who is a resident in one of the public housing towers in South Melbourne. And we've just been having a bit of a chat about the federal aged care packages. But what a lot of people probably wouldn't know is that for older people living in 11 of the 44 high-rises that are planned for the state government renewal, there are arrangements in place and historically have been for those older residents to have quite a bit of their care delivered with local government arrangements. So Bill's going to actually be talking a little bit about that. So I will play the interview now. Okay, so Bill, you explained to me, could you just explain a bit about some of the concerns with regards to people's health needs and support needs in the older person's high-rise program? With the demolition expected to happen of the different high-rise towers, what will that mean and what are some of the concerns that people have about health needs not being met?
The important thing for people that are living here now is their long-term residents, most of them, from this area, the City of Port Phillip area in particular, South Melbourne, Port Melbourne, Albert Park, Middle Park, going back decades. And you've got to remember that this area was really severely impacted upon by the changes, factories closed and things like that. So a lot of people basically fell upon hard times during that period, and they're still living in this building. Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, they've still got family here. In a lot of cases, their support needs through GPs, their doctors, Better Health Network is down in South Melbourne and provides services, and those, it's where people live. To be suddenly dislocated, mm-hmm. Especially when you're looking at the age group, mm-hmm. Most people would be in their 70s and 80s, with our oldest resident being 99, and so it's really important that these things to be addressed. In yeah. fact, people need to be housed back here under the same regime that they were initially.
Yeah.
You're talking about between 90 and 100 people.
And so with that regime, so when these towers were established and when the state government then gave nomination rights to the local councils tell us what that means. So the fact that there are those local councils that have got areas of responsibility, what happens there? Do you know, like, how does that relationship even look like between the state and local governments in terms of that service delivery for people, for the older people here?
The but in 1964, the agreement was drawn up between the City of South Melbourne and the Victorian Housing Commission, when the land where Layfield Court sits on was deeded to the government. Now, the council and its... there are a number of other councils which also put the similar similar caveats or things that they wanted as part of, or conditions,
yeah.
And that being for local residents and local older residents, mm-hmm. and that happened throughout Melbourne with a number of other councils joining in as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this particular area, it was at that stage, we had a local health service in the South, community health service, which came on track. The actual department itself was a lot more main, you might say, in its attitude towards older persons, and in 1998 did a substantial report on support needs, and looking so that people would basically get the care and support that they needed. Now, since then, there's been a whole lot of complications and things, or complications, yes, they are complications, made by, we've now got Homes Victoria,
yeah.
We've now got Better Health Network, which instead of being a back in the old, in a South Community Health Service, a localised area of work, I think Better Health Network now looks after people down at as far as Dandenong Way and even further. Mm-hmm. But it's the actual, because we have different, we've got the Older Persons IRISE Support Program.
Yeah.
Now that is an important part of support, in that when I moved in we had a full-time caseworker.
Yeah.
Here 9 to 5, 5 days a week with a backup from a support worker, that has been chopped and changed, and so that you've got different people on different days. It's not full time anymore, and that has impacted upon residents getting other things sorted and things like that. I mean, there are other agencies which provide carers and that sort of thing, but the actual process of finding those supports is important, and seeing those supports maintained is an important part of the caseworkers, the Older Persons IRISE Support Program caseworkers' activities.
Yeah.
And with NDIS and other changes, it's become more complicated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And is it needs to be sort of addressed a lot more. Well, it's not as good as what it was in the old days.
Yeah.
People often make that remark. You know, when I first moved in and things were different. It's become a lot more complicated, and the actual the population itself has a lot more issues.
Yeah. Yeah, and with the planned demolition of the high-rise towers, including the 11 towers where there are older people housed, Have you been given any kinds of reassurances from the state government that those programs will continue, that their older person's high-rise support program will continue? Or has anyone said to you what the future of that program will look like to make sure people's support needs are met?
No, it's one of the things that's of note about the whole process is the lack of information and the lack of, and the confusion that this has caused. Now, you've got here people with close family ties, GPs nearby, long established relationship with their doctors or their health services, and there are other and it's where they've lived in the case of most people all their lives. So to suddenly uproot them and there's all sorts of stories about what could happen and what couldn't happen, and there's also the legal aspects of well, according to the agreement that was drawn up in 64 for our place, are these is this agreement still in place? Do we come back as public housing tenants on this site now? And this that hasn't even been, as far as I know, hasn't even been looked at. I don't think that the City of Port Phillip has been informed as to what's going on.
Okay. And so in terms of what the residents need here, what would you say, what do you think that the local government and also the state government would need to do in terms of that older person's high-rise program, or in terms of making sure that people's support needs are met?
I think one of the things that possibly needs doing is that all local government cities where there are older persons high-rise program towers, they need to get together and have a bit of a talk about it themselves, because we need a some sort of community resilience plan to start and involve the residents in these sort of discussions and get their view. And start planning for these things and start looking at the legal issues that need to be addressed.
Okay. What's the history of older people being looked after in this area for residents of these towers?
Well, it goes back to a culture of, I think the slogan was, we look after our own. And it's one of those things which Meals on Wheels first started in Australia from South Melbourne Town Hall when a three-wheel trolley was wheeled out for the first time, I think, in the early 1950s. Yeah. But public housing itself, down at Garden City, down near Sandridge Way, started in the 1930s. Yeah. Harry Layfield, who was the mayor of South Melbourne, longest-serving mayor, he was a strong advocate of public housing, and as down in St Kilda, people think of Albert Jacker as a war hero, but his work in the early 30s against rentals, he was the Labor mayor of St Kilda, and working for poor people, and basically there's been a culture of looking after each other and that sort of thing, and that still stands today in amongst certain parts of the population.
Yeah, that's great, and it's great to be part of that history, and great for people, for residents to acknowledge that caring for one another in this community is so significant.
Yeah, especially these days when there seems to be a sort of where fast becoming not people, but just a statistic.
That culture and history of solidarity amongst people is really, really great. So in terms of that being strengthened, Bill, what do you think the state government needs to do in terms of making sure that people's support needs are met with this demolition planned?
I think they've got to start listening, and they've got to start. Well, they've got to start asking questions, not just Homes Victoria surveys, which seems to sort of the surveys that we've had here should have been the sort of surveys that should have been done before they announced the demolition as part of the planning.
Yeah.
Possibly. They've got to start talking to local government. They've got to start but looking at those sort of issues and addressing some of the things I've said before, sorting out the legal issues. And it's almost like they've got to put a pause on the whole project and say, well, look, we need to properly assess the population of the high-rise towers, of the older person's high-rise towers in particular, what their needs are. Because from what I've seen of the new properties, they may not meet a lot of these requirements.
So Fiona, that was an interview I did with Bill McKenzie last week. Thanks, Bill, for that. Fiona, is there something else that you wanted to say about the protest that happened a couple of Sundays ago?
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to... I know that some of our members often say this kind of stuff about migration and housing, and I just urge anybody listening that does have any kind of doubts about it to have a look at the Council to Homeless Persons statement and the Everybody's Home joint statement that they did with about 40-odd community organisations around the fact that what we need is 60,000 more public housing units. This has been 40 years of inaction, and migration is not the driver of the housing crisis. So have a read, get your information, get your you know, thinking caps on, I guess.
Do your own research.
Do your own research, yeah. Are we just about out of time?
We are, yeah. Yes. So we're going to go to a song.
Yeah. But before that, perhaps I'll just quickly give out the contact details for HAG. So if you're an older person living in Victoria and you have a housing issue, a problem with your renting property or a problem in retirement housing and you'd like some advice, you can give our intake line a call. It's 1300 765 178. And if you are an older person anywhere in the country or even a younger person that wants to get involved in housing justice campaigns or join one of our working groups, like Bill is in the older renters working group, we've got a bunch of others as well, you can call our office line on 03 9654 7389. And of course, we're on all of the internets as well. Oldertenants.org.au is a good place to start. So, yeah, going out with a song.
Awesome. What are we going to hear?
So this is an oldie, an old song, and it's by Woody Guthrie, and it's called Tear the Fascists Down.
Sweet.
There's a great and a bloody fight around this whole world tonight. In the battle, the bombs and shrapnel rain. Hitler told the world around he would tear our union down, but our union's gonna break them slavery chains, and our union's gonna break.